Hello, Baker McKenzie welcomes you to Connect on Tech, a global podcast series covering legal developments on data, technology, privacy, and security that impact your business. Here's your host, Brian Hengisbaugh, Global Chair of Privacy and Security.
Hello, and welcome back to Connect on Tech. I'm Brian Hengisbaugh. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Stephen Reynolds, a partner out of our Chicago office and cybersecurity specialist extraordinaire. Stephen, welcome back.
Great. Thank you for having me, Brian.
So topic today is the Strengthening American Cybersecurity Act, which was recently adopted into law and signed into law. And it has some pretty important timelines in it around notification of ransomware incidents. Stephen, can you give us a quick background on what's involved in the law?
Yeah, so one of the main things that's involved here is now a mandatory requirement for reporting ransomware for certain industries which fall within the term of critical infrastructure will now have 72 hours to report cyber incidents to the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, known as CISA.
And talk, so 72 hours, if your critical infrastructure, which, you know, could be what? I'm probably looking at telecom, financial institutions. What would fall within critical infrastructure?
Yeah, so the act refers to the Presidential Policy Directive 21, which you can look up, and there's a list within that Presidential Policy Directive of different agencies or sectors that will fall within critical infrastructure, including chemical, communications, dams, energy, financial services, food and agriculture. There's a list in there, and then it also cross-references to the definition of critical infrastructure in the Patriot Act. So there's a little ambiguity of exactly what will fall within a covered entity because it references the presidential directive, which then references the Patriot Act. But it's the agencies that were governed previously under this presidential directive, I would expect that they will want to comply with this new reporting requirement.
And can you talk to us for a couple minutes about how would this impact an organization that does fall within critical infrastructure, say responding to a ransomware attack? What would be the impact of this law on that response process?
Yeah, so the first thing would be making the report within the 72 hours upon reasonable belief that a cybersecurity incident has occurred. And the other thing that the act requires is a report if a ransomware payment is made within, I think, 24 hours of the payment being made. So there could be multiple reports that may need to be made if you're experiencing a ransomware attack.
Should the company expect that it won't be as simple as just filling out a form and submitting it and being done with it? Should expect follow-up questions from the agency, et cetera? And how might that, if at all, disrupt the investigation or cause some issues with protecting privilege, et cetera?
Yeah, so absolutely. I would expect that this will not just be a report of a form that you fill out and don't get anything, any response from CISA. I'd expect they will have questions. They may ask for some incidents of compromise or more information about the attack. They may ask, for example, if you're making a payment, I could foresee them asking for the Bitcoin wallet or whatever currency is being used and how that payment is being made. So I would expect there'll be some back and forth with these. But on the privilege side, there is some protection if you're sharing this information. I think it should be entitled to the same protections that were previously under the CISA 2015 Act that makes certain information you provide to CISA privileged or confidential.
Very good. So maybe there's some hope on the privilege side if you can make sure to align it under that 2015 Act and make it very clear that this is the purpose for which you're making the filing with CISA. What else in terms of the impact? In particular, I'm thinking, I think we've seen some draft SEC rules that have, you know, 4-day notification requirements for public companies when they have certain, you know, material incidents. We've certainly got the privacy notification timelines that are all over the map, 72 hours in Europe, and, you know, even faster in Colombia or South Korea, and, you know, various state triggers and federal triggers, et cetera. But how might this, if at all, complicate your response process overall?
Yeah, I think it just needs to be another thing that, you know, you'll have to keep track. We now have multiple different timelines that will apply when an incident occurs, including one you mentioned several, but there's also the contractual reporting requirements and a lot of contracts that our clients or companies have with their vendors or their customers that require reporting. So this will be one that companies will need to just, you know, stay aware of these different timelines and reporting. And the other thing I would say is try to coordinate, because I could imagine there could be some sharing between different agencies on, you know, when someone got a report versus when someone else did. So you'll want to try to be consistent with what you're viewing as your trigger for start time and how you're timing those 72 hours or whenever your triggering timeline is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're there, you're sharing significant information with CISA on your event, but yet you haven't made a public company filing yet. And so that could raise some questions about whether you did know you had a material event, but yet you haven't made your public company investor notification yet, or maybe your GDPR regulatory, privacy regulatory authority is upset because you've had, you know, discussions with the US government, but not with them about the particular issue, et cetera. So I can see it adding even more time compression to everything else that's going on as being certainly a challenge. Okay, cool. Any other key points or key takeaways you think you'd take from this one, Stephen?
No, I think the other key takeaway is companies will just need to kind of stay aware of the different laws in this area, because I think we're going to see more and more regulation that's going to require reporting or other things having to do with ransomware events as ransomware continues to be so prevalent.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point as well, stay aware of even things like OFAC. So how would this impact your filing with CISA, you're explaining what's going on with the event. Certainly, if there's some feedback from CISA that gives you reason to suspect the threat actor might be on the sanctions list, you've got a potential OFAC issue on your hands. So just adding to the complexity, you might say, of having to do these responses. So Stephen Reynolds, cybersecurity partner extraordinaire, thanks so much for being with us.
Great. Thank you, Brian. Everyone take care.
Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for our next podcast when we connect on tech. For more information on data and technology, subscribe to our blog at connectontech.com or visit our website at bakermckenzie.com.